I want to catch up on a story we carried yesterday, and we spoke to you in relation to it, and we flagged it during the review of the news a little earlier on. And that's this post that was put up on Facebook, the Letterkenny Buy and Sell Facebook page, where effectively, and it doesn't need to be sensationalised because it's tragic, well, not tragic, it's sad in that an 8-year-old child, what they wanted from Santa was a mattress. There was a huge response to it, which is encouraging.
Yeah. Not surprising, Greg, to be honest.
But it's indicative of what's going on, isn't it, that maybe many of us don't realise.
Very much so. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're under so much pressure with the Presents for Percy appeal this year, and we had to go more public with it than we normally do. Because there is cases of extreme hardship out there across our county. And I suppose for us as a county childcare committee, our main focus is children.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the story about the mattress, whilst really unfortunate, good at the same time, because it helped bring, you know, publicity to this issue.
And there was people were getting in contact with mattresses, with beds themselves. There was people with vans saying, look, I can pick stuff up and drop it off. When people become aware of these cases, the goodwill is there to rectify it.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And I mean, we've found that since last week, since the letter went public last week. We found that the office has been inundated all week, you know, with people calling in, with people offering to help, businesses offering to help. Now, we're at the stage now where we have a lot of donations pledged, and we just need them to be realised, and we need to make sure.
Because we're not far from Christmas now, and there is a logistical aspect. We really only
have this week to get this turned around and to get stuff out to the family support agencies that we work with. We're working with 19 agencies across the county, and we need to give them time then to filter the stuff down to the families that
Right, tell us the background to the Presents for Percy appeal then.
Well, the Presents for Percy appeal was started in 2011, a really small initiative, just something that we, because again, as a county childcare committee and as a staff team there, we're very conscious of the needs of children. So what we wanted to do, we wanted to try and help in some way. So it started off as a very small appeal. We did, even in 2011, work with the 19 agencies. Those were the first 19 that we identified, and we continued to work with them. That number hasn't grown in terms of the agencies we work with, simply because we couldn't let anybody else in. I was contacted by 10 different additional agencies this year and had to turn them away because the appeal isn't big enough. So if you think back, 2011, we helped 400 families. And this year in 2000...
Is that just in this county, or is it?
This is just for Donegal.
400 families needed assistance.
That was in 2011. This year, I have 1,300 on our lists that need to be facilitated. As I said, there's a maximum of €50 donation to each child. Some agencies have asked for as little as €12.50 per child. So if you put that into the context of Christmas, and I suppose, you know, to think about this, you know, families that are contacting us are saying that Santa is not priority. What is priority is getting electric turned back on, which costs €300, to get fuel in for Christmas and to ensure that the fridge and the cupboards is stocked.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the priority. So then for us then, what our aim is to allow then the likes of St Vincent de Paul to step in and do that type of work, so that we can take the pressure off then with the Santa requests.
Well, Santa will do his very best, I'm sure, to get around everyone that he can. How do people help, you know, with the appeal? What do they donate? Do they donate money?
What makes the Presents for Percy appeal different is that it is a targeted appeal, because before we set it up, we talked to a lot of the organisations that were working with the likes of the Toys for Tubs appeal, the Bernardo's appeal, things like that. And what they were saying to us was that whilst it was brilliant to get toys in, what was happening was a lot of the supermarkets started to provide these deals for like two toys for €10. And then you would find then that they had hundreds maybe of books for a certain age group, or hundreds of small trucks or something like that, which is great.
But one size doesn't fit all.
Exactly. Mm. And if a child is looking for, say, a bike or a doll and pram or whatever, well, that's what the request is. So the Percy appeal tries to specifically buy things that have been requested by children to a maximum of €50.
And how do people get in contact if they want to help? Okay. Because as you say, the time is of the essence at this stage. So pledges as wonderful as they are, what you need really now is firstly those who have been so very kind to pledge to fulfill that pledge.
Yes.
But secondly, if anyone wants to help today, then it would be, you know, not just a pledge, but to actually go through with the process. So how did they get in contact?
Our bank details are on our Facebook page and on our website.
So Presents for Percy, if you search that.
Presents for Percy, yes, if you search that, that will come up. I can give my own mobile number if anybody's
stuck on
that.
But we can take that off air, and we can, some people don't have access to that and may want to call you. They can call us and we can pass it on.
But also, if anybody is thinking of buying a present today, and a lot of people don't want to donate money, but we can assure that it's all going to the right place. But if you don't want to do that and you do want to buy a present, think about things like Lego. Lego sets are particularly good. Art and craft sets, things that will fuel children's imaginations and things that will keep them busy over Christmas. So if you're looking for ideas, and to stay away from baby toys in particular, because we've got a lot of baby toys and we don't need any more. So, you know, things like Lego, creative arts and crafts, books, all good.
Is there a drop-off place?
Drop-off places all over the county. If you contact us for a list, but basically if you go to any St Vincent de Paul Centre, any Super Value Centre, Spreeoga Sport in Carndonagh, AWS Tyres in Quigley's Point, our own office on High Road, Letterkenny, and if you're stuck for a drop-off point, give us a ring, let us know, and we'll let you know where your nearest is.
And something as little as €12 can make a big difference to a family this Christmas.
Yes, we had two little girls in on Friday afternoon donating their pocket money, which was €5 each, which will go towards the appeal.
Okay, listen, it's been a pleasure having you in.
Thank you. We wish
you the very best of luck. You're doing your work, and of course, Santa's very busy doing his own work too. And we appreciate you coming in and talking to us about this initiative. We wish you the very best with it. Search on the internet, Presents for Percy, or indeed on Facebook, or give us a buzz. We'll pass on your number. And at this stage, really dropping stuff in would be the ideal situation, because we're in a very important week to get this for you guys, of course, to get this filtered through to those that need it. Avril McMonagall, thank you so much for coming into studio and discussing that with us. Okay, thank you indeed. 086 77 00 555 is the text number, or you can call us 07491 25000. If you want Avril's mobile number, if you want to get in contact with her directly as it relates to a donation, you can call us now on 07491 25000. We were just speaking to Avril there. And it's a beautiful thing, too, that can come from such a desperate situation. How many people are ringing us looking for Avril's details to donate to that charity cause, to that cause, to help people this Christmas. Marion's been taking dozens of calls from people who heard Avril and want to help. So that's a beautiful thing coming out of a very sad situation. We were talking about homelessness earlier on, and Kenny doesn't give a hoot about homelessness, says this caller. It's a publicity stunt on the back of those poor people. Just read in the paper, says another caller, the reason the homeless man in Dublin refused the bed was because he felt safer on the streets than in temporary accommodation made available to him. And that's kind of interesting, because my brother Jerome, who used to work for TV3, did a documentary about homelessness, and he lived out in the streets of Dublin for some time, and also went back to one of those centres, those temporary accommodation areas, and looking at the footage that was done through secret cameras and stuff, it didn't seem the most pleasant of places, and so I can understand where that caller's coming from in that regard. Next up on the programme, I'm joined on the line by Manus Kelly, because Damien Flanagan was a spectator at this year's Donegal International Rally when he was seriously injured during day two of that event. A special fundraising day has been organised for him to help in his recovery. Manus Kelly, the rally driver who was involved in the incident, is organising the events, and he joins us on the programme now. Manus, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. I know it's probably difficult, but for the benefit of our listeners, remind us of the events of day two of the rally.
Basically, Greg, we started off on the Garton stage on the Saturday, and we were coming within probably a quarter of a mile of the end of the stage, and it was a very fast bit of the stage, and we were going over a crest jump, and we lost control on the of the car after she landed, and basically just she went off the road, and then we're not sure if Damien got struck by the car. It was probably more a bit of debris, you know, from the car, but unfortunately Damien suffered kind of life-changing injuries as a result.
Every rally driver's worst nightmare.
Yeah, definitely, Greg. I mean, I've been rallying now 10 years, and I suppose it's one of the things that myself and Donald always talked about. You know, when you get into the car, you always prepare yourself for maybe an accident could happen, as it's the nature of the sport. But, you know, the worst nightmare would be ever to, you know, to go off the road and injure an innocent party.
Damien has a rallying background himself, doesn't he?
He has indeed. Damien's been involved in rallying for years with a local friend of his, Camillus Bradley, who's a well-known rally driver in the rally scene as well. And Damien has been around a lot of events and involved corely in the rally, even from a point of view of servicing and one thing and another.
And very much part of the rally family.
He is indeed. He is indeed.
So
the rally family would know him, you know.
And at what point then, Manus, did you feel that you wanted to get involved in assisting Damien in his recovery by organising this event?
Well, I suppose, Greg, it was always something that was in my head. I mean, kind of everyone concerned suffered a lot of shock at the time. And, you know, Damien was in hospital for a long time after the rally. And we just let, kind of, I suppose, for the want of a better word, let the dust settle. And just now a few of us have got together, we've formed a committee. Donegal Motor Club have come on board and have been great, and the guys involved in the committee, and we said, look, this guy has life-changing injuries. He's not able to work, he's not able to earn for his family, and we just want to, you know, do what we can to get Damien some money to help him with his recovery and to help his family through Christmas and one thing and another.
And that part of it is where it really begins to get positive, because it's you and the rest of the guys and girls getting together to help Damien, and you've a fantastic motorsporting day planned, haven't you? Loads of events.
We have indeed, yes. In fact, we started off, I did a beard shave there for Movember, and with the help of the committee, we've already raised close on €2,500 for Damien. We now have this event coming up now on the 13th out at the Letty-Kenny Carton Centre, and there's a whole range of events out there, and I suppose one very important visitor that's coming is Santa Claus himself for the kids, and there's going to be some disco dancing and face painting as well for the kids. We've a small auto test running as well, which will, you know, we've set up a little course which will be highly entertaining, and even from a spectator point of view. We've got tractor balancing, we've got a digger task, and we have a car pulling event there as well, along with lots of other motorsport, you know, vehicles like rally cars, auto test cars, buggies, just to name a few, Greg.
And that's a real family event and should attract huge numbers. And then it's off then into Letterkenny that night for a night at the races.
Yes, we're holding a night of the races in Sister Sarah's that night. And basically there's going to be 10 races. But the one race in particular is going to be highly attractive. I suppose it'll be very attractive to the motorsport world, but also there's some very nice prizes in there as well. But one of the key prizes, free entry for the Donegal International next year, which is worth in the region of €1,000.
Which is a fantastic prize. There's so much to talk about that we couldn't go through it all now. So what's the best way for people who want to help you and the rest of the organisers to support Damien by getting involved on December 13th? What's the best way to get that info?
The best way to get that information, we have Oisin Kelly there has developed a Facebook page solely for the Damien Kelly or Damien Flanagan Recovery Fund. And anyone that visits that page, they'll get a list of the events and all on there. We have some posters up. There will be radio adverts on the radio. They're kindly sponsored by Divers Hyundai and Kelly's Toyota. And I mean, that's probably the best way, Greg, that people will get informed of it, you know.
Okay, Manus Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the programme this morning and talking us through it, and the best of luck with December 13th.
Greg, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Right, we are joined on the line now by Warren Coates. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, you're founder of Northern Ireland Paranormal Research Association. You're a lead investigator and spokesperson. Tell us a bit about the organisation.
Certainly. We started the group in 1991. And basically what turned out to be a bit of a joke at first. You know, we went out to see if there was such a thing as the paranormal. And basically, we've been going ever since. There's just been... You know, it just proved beyond doubt there's so many different things out there, and there's so many people that were actually having experiences. Now, we were one of the first groups actually going whenever I started. In fact, we were the first group going whenever I actually started the group. And there was just so many people having, well, some people thinking they were having paranormal experiences, and some people that were actually genuinely having paranormal experiences.
Now, a new film out called Ouija, it's a horror film last month. I haven't seen it to judge whether it's horrible or not. But there is a feeling that this will lead to a surge in the purchase of Ouija boards.
That's correct.
Are Ouija boards real? Do they work? I mean, I've seen footage of them moving around themselves. Is there anything to it?
There's different schools of thought, right? I mean, I personally believe they do work. We've had experiences. Unfortunately, they're a very dangerous item, and they're a thing we would tell people to stay clear of.
Well, give us a case study. Like, why? Why are they dangerous?
Well, people use them. The best time people use them is, believe it or not, in the middle of a party.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will decide to get the Ouija board out, and there's maybe drink, maybe the other substance flying around. And the thing is, whenever you're sort of especially drinking, all your defences are down. And the spirits that you'll actually connect through with the Ouija board are spirits. They're not negative. They're not sort of demons or anything like that. But there can be negative energies, and there can be what we call earthbound energies that haven't moved on. Now, if they've been maybe roaming the earth for maybe 20, 30, maybe 50, 60 years, and nobody's been able to contact them, and all of a sudden this person is able to speak to them and able to communicate with them, the spirit won't want to let them go.
So
what
have you seen firsthand? I mean, have you seen anything being moved that wasn't being physically moved by a human?
Oh, yeah, very much so. We were at a house back about 11 or 12 years ago, and the people had used the Ouija board and the planchette, and they went through the thing with us, you know, and they sat, and every time they started, the lights started going on and off in the room, the doors would bang and all this. Now, we physically watched them. Whenever that we were sitting, there was nothing. The planchette didn't move on the board at all. And we gave it about 3/4 of an hour to an hour, and there was nothing. And the second the lady set the Ouija board down on the table with the planchette on top of it, the planchette just slowly slid across the board.
Mm.
Now, we got up and checked, and there was no wires. There was no sweat or anything on the board that would have produced this. Everything was dry, and there was nothing set up. And this lady was having major problems. Now, this lady, unfortunately, people still do. There's people which actually consult the Ouija board before they go out shopping in the morning or go to work. You know, now, it can be a form. Like, years ago in the 1980s, there was a film called Dungeons and Dragons, and people actually role-played so much that they actually got to believe in it. They actually sort of they thought this was reality.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with the Ouija board, that seems to happen as well. You know, like psychologists, and a lot of psychologists will actually use the Ouija board, to think that you sort of communicating directly with your subconscious mind.
So you believe in all of all of that stuff, poltergeist, spirits. I presume then, if you believe in that, you believe in the devil, and if you believe in the devil, then do you believe in God? I mean, is it all tied in?
Perfectly honest with you, we do believe in spirits. Now, I don't believe in sort of like demons or negative energy and such, but I don't believe in demons as in demons from the Bible. I think everybody again's got their own belief system there. But certainly, you know, we still go in, although we've been going for so long, we still go in with a very open mind onto people's houses when we are doing an investigation, because 99% out of the times it turns out to be a logical sort of normal explanation behind it, as in one we had actually about a year ago, and it was the next door neighbour was actually raking the fire.
Mm.
And it was a rough terrace house. You can actually hear the echo throughout the house, and these people believed they had something haunting their house.
Yeah, still probably quite a scary sound to someone raking the fire and echoing through the old buildings. So, right, to wrap up then, you believe Ouija boards can open a portal, I suppose, to put it in layman's terms, and given the fact that they're in Hollywood movies again, coming back into fashion to some extent, you're urging people not to use them, not to buy them.
That's it. I mean, and sort of when the birth of spiritualism years ago in the 1800s, you know, the Fox sisters were the ones, it was the whole thing that actually brought spiritualism out in the shadows. And the Ouija boards were sold basically as like Cluedo or Monopoly would have been now. Mm. You know, it was a parlor trick, a parlor game. And that's exactly what came a full circle, and that's exactly what's happening again.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks so much for coming on and chatting to us.
No problem, Greg. Lovely speaking to
you. All right, you too. Chat again, hopefully. That was Warren Coates there, warning people against purchasing Ouija boards. I wouldn't go near one, to be honest with you. I'm a bit soft in that regard, or maybe that's what protects me. I don't know. 086 77 00 555. What do you think of that, lad? Load of that, a load of nincompoop, or something to it. Okay, I'm absolutely delighted to say I'm joined on the programme now by Sheila Shoika. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning. How are you, Greg?
How are you doing?
I'm very well.
You've been on a whistle stop tour, haven't you, over the last while promoting your new track?
Absolutely. It's been great fun, and it's set to continue for the next few weeks. So I'm kind of caught up in this fabulous whirlwind of this Christmas song, Maybe This Christmas.
And it's
loving every second, yeah.
I beg your pardon, Sheila. It's for the Make-A-Wish and also for Childline. So two very worthy causes. Now, what can happen with the best will in the world? People can get together and they can produce a song to try and raise money for charity. And it can be a bit like, oh, you know, OK, I'll support it, but I don't really want to listen to it. You've managed to pull off a really good track here with Maybe This Christmas.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, and that was the concern initially, because it was my idea, and I just went, I want to do this, and I presumed I'd do a cover. And then through a conversation with a singer-songwriter called Brian Flanagan, we were talking about what the charities are all about, what they represent. And obviously with Make-A-Wish Ireland and with the ICC Childline, they're both, you know, children who really need our help. You know, you're talking about children with life-threatening conditions with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, who, you know, at the moment there's over 200 children waiting to have their wishes granted. And because the money is not there, neither charity get any government funding. They're completely reliant on donations and the goodwill of people. And obviously with Childline, the situation is that they will have to close their nighttime service come January if they don't raise $1 million between now and the end of the year. So the pressure is massively, massively on. So we wanted to do something. We thought about it. He ended up writing this beautiful song. He sent me a verse in a chorus that I completely fell in love with. And then it grew into this big production. Billy Farrell has produced it. We have loads of people involved. We have children's choirs, Palestrina Boys Choir, St. Mary's Pro Cathedral Girls Choir, and then we have a whole host of famous faces at the end. I think the song itself is really strong. Mm. Regardless of it being associated to a charity or not, I think the song is really strong. It's been written with a really good intention, really knowing what the charity is about. I'm getting to do what I love, which is singing.
Because the truth is, Sheila, I mean, there aren't, you know, if you go through the list of Christmas songs, songs that become standards and last beyond that year, there are very, very few of those. So many people have tried to write a song that sort of has a bit of longevity. And we all know the sort of block of maybe a dozen songs that get played every year. This one has the potential to be one of those, to become one of those standards beyond, you know, its great intentions this year.
Well, hopefully. I feel very passionately about the song. I feel really strongly towards it. I knew I loved it from the get-go. Anyone I played it for, before I even lay down my own vocal, felt the same. The song speaks for itself. It's really strong. I mean, the thing is as well, like, what I would love people to really get to understand and get behind is the fact that whether you like the song or not, now, luckily, the feedback has been fantastic, but of course, music is subjective. There will be those who might prefer something else. But regardless, understand why we're doing this, because for the past 8 years, X Factor has been the Christmas number one in Ireland. And that's all well and good, but I think it's time for a change. And I think a lot of people agree. I think, you know, the last time was 2005. It was a Gift Grub song that was number one. But this is something that really, 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 really struck me. The last time an Irish song written by an Irish person, sung by an Irish artist, and has been a non-novelty Christmas number one has been in 1972 with Thin Lizzy and Whiskey in the Jar. Mm. I think it's time to break that record and make sure that an Irish song written by an Irish person, sung by an Irish person, performed by Irish people for Irish charities, all the money, all the royalties will be going to these charities as well. I think it's time that we have a feel-good, powerful song at the top at Christmas. I think I mean, obviously.
Well, a proper Christmas song as well. Yeah, you know, with all the other list of stuff that you did there. I'm not being facetious, but you talk about records. The video's great for this song, too. I'm not sure I've ever seen so many headphones in the one room.
Well, this is the thing. The funny thing was, and I've said this to a few people, the night before we were in Windmill, because this happened so fast, next thing, we're like, boom, in Windmill, doing this, and it's all happening. I just had a dream that nobody would turn up. Everyone I contacted wouldn't be there for one reason or another. And, I mean, the people who turned up, we didn't even have half enough headphones to go around. That's how busy it was.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I think people understood why we were doing it, so wanted to support the cause. And some amazing people, and actually, in fact, a local woman as well was there, and I'm so delighted that she was. She's an amazing, amazing support of this project. The fabulous Ramona Nicholas was one of the people in the group as well.
Did you have any reservations about putting your vocals out there? Because it's not what people necessarily would instantly associate you with.
Yeah, I would have before. I would have definitely been very, very apprehensive, very shy about it before. But I think, in the last few years, life has kind of woken me up and taught me a lot of lessons. I was sick a number of years ago. I had thyroid cancer, and I very, very luckily came through that, and that kind of changed my perspective on a lot of things and made me realise that life is I mean, it's a blessing to be here. It's so fabulous to be alive, but also you just never know when things are going to change, and you might as well live your life the way you want.
And not put barriers in front of ourselves.
Correct.
There's enough real barriers without us establishing our own.
Correct. Absolutely spot on. I mean, I feel that I suppose, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us live from a place of fear for whatever reason, and I want to step outside it as much as I possibly can, because this is where you make a decision from your heart one day, and you go, I want to do this, not knowing if it's going to work. And then once you put yourself out there and say, I want to do this, people come to support you. And it's a pure example of this. This has been an amazing experience for me, because the second I said, I stepped up and I said, I want to do this, other people joined in and said, we'll help.
Yeah.
And I've had the most amazing people on the team working on this. I could not have done this on my own.
Well,
support has been incredible.
Indeed, and you just have to go through the list of people that were involved, and I'm sure it's not a complete list either. There's been it's released on the 5th. I can't. So what date is it today?
Yeah, it's out now. We went live
6th,
on iTunes there,
and there was a massive pre-order too. How's it been since the single was actually available to go?
Well, it's been fantastic. We went straight in at number one.
Wow.
Straight in at number one on iTunes, which is absolutely wonderful, and we've stayed there, which is amazing. And I mean, it probably will flit a little bit, and that's apparently, this is the thing, I'm learning all about the music industry. I've been familiar with the media business, I've been in it since I was 18, but the music industry,
it's about 3 years, is it?
Oh, thank you.
People can get it on iTunes, but if they can't or don't have access to that, can you get a physical copy of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sheila,
I mean, we're really pushing iTunes, it's fabulous, we want people to click, but there will be physical copies in Tesco's nationwide from Monday, so they'll be in 70 stores around the country. We are looking at music retailers, and not alone that, but the wonderful Ramona is also going to be selling them in her car pharmacies as well.
Oh, brilliant.
From next week as well, because that'll be fantastic.
So locally, car pharmacies from next week on Monday, the local Tesco store, you can get them from there. If you have access to the computer, you can download it from iTunes. And let's hope, you know, it'd be a lovely story if it ended up actually being the number one for Christmas, for the reasons that you outlined earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, all the information, we have a Twitter page, we have a Facebook page, all the information is on the one website, maybethischristmas.com, as simple as that. And if you want, and you're sitting there and you're listening and you have, you know, you have a load of money under your mattress that you want to give, there is a donate button as well. If somebody wants to actually directly donate to the charities, we will welcome that with open arms as well. But all the information, the video, everything else to go with it is on that website.
Okay, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks,
we're going to hear
Greg.
Your track now. Have a fantastic and happy Christmas, and
thank
congratulations.
So much, cheers. Thanks a million.
Giving is the greatest gift of all. Fills another soul and leaves you feeling 10 feet tall. See a stranger's eyes shine 'cause of you. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true. You can make a wish come true. As the world, she wonders how to heal. Just beyond your doorstep, there's a hurt you know is real. Hear the silent child call out to you, and maybe this Christmas You can make a wish come true. 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 Open your mind, look at this face, ask of your heart to open wide. Now is the time, here is the place. You've got what it takes to change a life. Spare a thought for those alone, ease another's pain, they say you leave behind your own. Those who dare to dream, they look to you for just a little love. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true. Maybe this Christmas you can make a wish come true.
Okay, that's Sheila Shoiger there and Friends with Maybe This Christmas. It's a nice upbeat song, isn't it? And for a great cause there as well. Stephen Keenan's Managing Director of Saffron Travel. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for holding there.
Thank
now,
you.
There's a Interstellar Prize for Donegal school pupils. It's part of this competition that's promoting science learning. Tell us about it, Stephen.
Well, the competition, it's sponsored by eFlow, the toll bridge company, and an umbrella company called ITS Ireland. The competition, it's open to second year students in schools all over the country, and we're asking them to make a 3-minute movie presentation documentary, if you like, on a science question, which I'll come back to in a second. But the prize ultimately is to travel to the European Space Centre in the south of Belgium for 3 days. That's the ultimate prize, and the prize is worth approximately €10,000.
And that's for an individual, isn't it? The
Yeah, well, it's open to second years. Yeah, so basically, we would ask small groups of say 2 to 6 people, students within inside one school to make this short movie. The question is looking at the application of science and technology innovations to improve transportation networks and systems in your town. So a short movie on that. And they enter by going online, downloading an entry form at www.saffrontravel.org or calling the office number 042-93-43030, and we send them out the registration pack. And as I say, the prize is a visit to the European Space Centre, where they'll undergo 3 days of astronaut training there at the Space Centre. So it's a very, very unique prize to win.
And for so many younger people who dream of space travel and what have you, what a fantastic way to potentially get a taste of what it would be like to do that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, eFlow and ITS Ireland recognise the potential of the competition. This is its second year now, since Finian's Mullingar won it last year. The whole drive for science and space technology, it is the future. And I say the drive for science within schools is very, very important from a job creation point of view, even within these small shores of Ireland.
And do you anticipate second-year students doing it sort of as part of their course or extracurricular?
Well, I'd say, yeah, to be honest, I mean, the entries last year that we had, it was more done as a project inside the science classroom, done as a homework, done as a special project. This year, the entries are 20% up. So I think we have about 140 schools so far have entered the competition, or registered, should I say. The closing date is the 17th of December, I believe, and the videos need to be in by the end of March next year. So it's it'll be set probably as a special project within say the science year grouping.
And just remind us again how people can get more information on that.
So basically, the quickest way right now would be to go on to the Saffron Travel website, www.saffrontravel.org. They can download an entry form, or if they want to leave details with our office Monday morning, the number to ring is 042-93-43030. And we'll organise for the competition pack to be sent out. And again, sponsored by eFlow and ITS Ireland. Without them, the competition just wouldn't happen.
OK, thank you very much for telling us about that. Stephen.
The Weekend Edition with Café Arnoux Cocktail and Wine Bar, Dunfanaghy. Perfect for afternoon tea, Sunday brunch, or celebratory dinner with cocktails.